Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster Dog Toy Blast Tennis Ball 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai Chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing Squish Lamps and Performax Drill Bit Sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Welcome to the Brews and Appraisal Views podcast, where non-lending appraisals meets humor and insight. I'm your host, Dan Lindemann, certified appraiser serving South Florida for over 20 years. Each episode will blend interviews, tips, stories to help you grow your private appraisal business. Whether you're a trainee, an established appraiser, or just curious about the field, this podcast is for you. So grab your favorite beverage, turn up the volume, and join us as we dive into this week's episode featuring Ryan Lundquist. How's it going, Ryan?
Hey, good, Dan. Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
I'll just introduce Ryan here right from his website. It was eloquently put here. Ryan Lundquist is a certified appraiser and housing market analyst in the Sacramento area. Ryan runs the Sacramento Appraisal Blog, which is a top-ranking appraisal blog in the U.S. He has been quoted in local and national publications and has been involved in local real estate associations for more than a decade. Ryan is a member of the Real Estate Appraisers Association of Sacramento. His clients include homeowners, real estate agents, CPAs, attorneys. In his spare time, Ryan likes to do woodworking and take long walks. Short walks. I don't know. It says loves walking.
Romantic walks. Yeah. Yeah. There we go.
By himself or together with your wife.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate getting to be here. Can't wait for a conversation.
Likewise. You're the number when I hear appraisal blog or non-lender, you're like the number one person that comes to mind with blogging out there and how you put yourself out there and constantly churn out this good data for your clients. It's really I think what appraisers should strive to do is something, replicate a blog like yours in their market. And that's why I wanted to have you on, because you're the expert. So again, this is going to be a casual conversation with you, Ryan. So this week I pulled up your latest blog, which is, let's see here, right here. The housing market after a presidential election. So how do you come up with these topics? Like how did this come up? Obviously, yeah. The election, but what spurs it?
Yeah. So, you know, I think this one's kind of a geeky post, and anyone looking on, I'd be like, hey, don't try to replicate it. It just, write something smaller. Okay. Much shorter. But for this one, I've been getting asked questions, in recent weeks and months, just people saying, hey, what happens after an election? And one thing I've been hearing a lot is that, hey, after an election, we tend to see this increase in volume or prices go up. And so for part of me, I just wanted to address that and say, well, what do the stats actually show? And so it was actually really cool. I find that when I think a blog post is really awesome, that's sort of the death blow, like it might not do well. but I really, really liked putting this one together because I think I'm highlighting something in my local market that nobody else has ever talked about before in terms of what happens with, prices or volume, rates, that kind of stuff. And so that's where that came from. But otherwise, blog posts just typically come in my DMs or someone will text me and say, hey, I've got this issue about an ADU or, what do you do here? Or I have a blog post coming up where I think I'm going to write about age adjustments. I don't really give those, but I'll explain why I don't, because an agent texted me and said, hey, I got this property and I'm kind of concerned about the appraisal. Is it a big deal if we use something that's a little bit newer in age? And so I think just when people ask questions, and that's sort of like, okay, great. I think that's a good one and I can address it eventually. And a blog post or any content on social media is just answering the questions you're being asked. And if no one's asking you questions, then hey, that's a sign that you got to connect with more people.
Got it. So just during the course of the week, you'll get these emails, you get these DMs, and you're like, oh, maybe I'll talk about this next week.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm keeping sort of a running list of stuff like on either Chicken Scratch on, you know, right at my desk here, or in the Notes app on my iPhone, where, you know, I'll be having like all these different, you know, ideas, and maybe I'll get to some of them, maybe I won't get to others, but, you know, but, and once in a while too, I'll ask people, hey, what, you know, what are you thinking about? You know, do you have any appraisal related questions? But for me, I get a lot of in-person time where I'm talking to people, where I'm, you know, doing presentations and such. And so, you know, sometimes I'm just, you know, talking and trying to reflect sort of what I'm being asked. And so, and for me, it's a lot like, man, it's so much about the market now. Ever since COVID, you know, the last 4 years, that's just, I'm really heavy into market trends, and that's not where some other appraisers might go. And I'd say that's okay. Just, you know, talk about smoke alarms, or, you know, or what the market's doing if you want, or whatever, you know, whatever you can. It's, I think sometimes the simplest questions, just giving an answer for how would an appraiser choose comps on this property? Like that's gold. And that's really, really helpful stuff for people.
So I keep a notes list as well for the blogs I write on my website. I don't really write many blogs that are, I maybe repost an article and pose a question for my personal blog for my appraisal company. But for the referral business, I've been writing the blogs, but the ideas come to me like just probably like that during that week, an idea will spur from a transaction that just happened or something like that. So it's not like you have to sit there and think about stuff to write about. The stuff will come up if you're just open to it and just keep your little Chicken Scratch. Just write those notes down along the week, and all of a sudden you've got maybe 20 potential topics that you've come into over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's the perfect way to do it, because if we put out content, whether that's on video or we're writing something, we're singing something, that would be awkward. But like, if we're putting something out there and we don't have this list and we don't have an idea, and you sit down, and you're like, okay, now it's time to write a blog post, or it's time to like do this video. Content is going to feel really, really painful. But if I'm developing a list where I'm thinking a few weeks out, you know, that's where I think it's helpful. Or if someone's just starting, they're like, I just need to put together one piece of content for a month. Great. You know, maybe market stats one time a month, not write a dissertation, but put out, you know, three or four images if you can. And, you know, just do that every single month and be consistent no matter how busy you are. I think that becomes powerful. And people, if it's helpful information, people will latch onto it. That's what I've learned anyway.
Absolutely correct. I agree. Consistency. Do not be sporadic about your blog. Consistency. Do it every week or every month, whatever your goal is. Do it and do it every week. Don't do it sporadically.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So a thing I like about your blog is you put your, well, as appraisers, I think sometimes we just think that we should be appraisers. I like how you call yourself a housing analyst. That's really cool. That's kind of sets you apart. Like, oh, what does that mean? But as appraisers, we can do this other stuff. You have different side gigs, speaking, teaching classes, doing continuing ed, stuff like that, which is complements your appraisal business, which I think is really cool. And I think other appraisers should open their eyes to those different opportunities that are out there if you just see them and wherever it takes you.
Definitely. Yeah. And real quick, if I could address, like, why the heck do I call myself a housing analyst? It actually happened in 2012, the Sacramento Bee, which is our main newspaper here, they started quoting me. And I think it was sort of my content was starting to get discovered. And one of the reporters, there's been several real estate reporters through the years, he started calling me a housing analyst. And for me, it's sort of a role that I had to embrace over time and go, you know what, that's exactly who I am. People are hiring me multiple times every month to talk about what the market's doing. And so I'll talk about the market for, you know, an hour. And I love that. But it's directly related to me appraising and, you know, what's the market doing and just stuff I've learned over the years. And so, but that's kind of where that came from. It's not like, hey, Ryan's, you know, really thinks highly of himself. It's sort of a title that I think was maybe born in the marketplace, and where I thought, yeah, that's who I am. And so that's why my email signature says appraiser and housing market, you know, analyst or whatever, whatever it says.
Looking at your blog, I get your blog every week. It's every week, right? Is that what you're doing every week?
Once a week. Yeah.
Housing analyst is perfect description of reading through that blog and all the stats there. I think it's a perfect description of you as housing analyst. So
right on.
So I like that. And I also like I like the memes you put up there. That's really cool. That's really funny. And I've actually kind of not copied it, but I liked putting an image. That's great. I like how you do the memes every week. That's kind of cool.
Got to try to have some humor in there somewhere if we can. So absolutely. So
absolutely. This, I'll be honest. Yeah. This was the goal for the podcast too. There's there's enough content out there that's professional and rigid and stuffy. So I just wanted something laid back and, you know, something a lot of people can relate to and not have to, and just relax listening, you know?
No, right on, right on. And this is nerd stuff too, like all my graphs today, but so many of these, I mean, they're so easy to replicate. And, I think what I encourage appraisers to do is just, you know, start pushing out some stats if you can once a month. I think that's powerful. Dan, can you scroll up to the very top of my blog? Then can you click on stats? It should be on the navigation bar. And then if you could just scroll down just a little bit. Okay, so do you see that top image? I would just recommend, like, don't try to do, you know, cover 9 counties like I do. That's ridiculous. But do one image per month. You know, just that, where you're tracking some basic stuff. How is the market today compared to 1 year ago? You can even use that stuff in your appraisal reports. But I really like it as an appraiser when I follow stats like this. I feel like it keeps me sharp in my gives me an objective sense of what the market's doing. But it sort of, you know, forces me to understand, like, well, how are different things moving, and what happens at this time of year to inventory or to sales volume, or, you know, what's sort of a normal price softening for the fall season? And I can speak definitively about that stuff. And so I'm not saying, like, you know, is the market declining or is it just softening? And I can be like, well, here's kind of normal stuff right now, a seasonal softening. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, so I don't know. I like that stuff. But, you know, for a starting place, like I remember there's a local guy who talked to me, and then he's like, you know what, I'm just overwhelmed. Like, I feel like, you know, I can't do anything because you're doing so much. I'm like, that's like, what are you talking about? I'm not a hog, and there's so much business to be had out there. But I think that we have to come to the marketplace with some sort of value proposition. We can't come empty handed. It's like showing up to house and not bringing, you know, wine or an appetizer or something when you're invited to dinner. And so we've got to show up with something rather than nothing. And I think one of the issues in the appraisal space is that, you know, we get so trained by the AMC model that we're sort of some cog in a system, or we're just waiting for the phone to ring, or that business is up to, you know, this company to reach out to me, or I sign up on a list. But I find in the private world, it's just totally different, where we have to go out there and build relationship with people, which is so fun in business, and bring something to the table to be able to share, you know, it, whether that's a, you know, market image or just conversation. You know, here's, I'm going to post once a week on LinkedIn, or I'm going to, you know, try to connect with people on their social media and get to know them. Okay. Well, I go to refer people regularly, even appraiser colleagues, when, you know, I'm too busy and such. And one of the hard parts is that it's hard for me to remember people's name, but the people who are getting in front of me, those are the people that I'm going to refer because I remember that person's name. Or when someone asks for a real estate agent, obviously I'm going to refer the best person for the job. But guess what? If someone's really been interacting with me, or a guy that comes over to my house and plays pool, like, man, I owe Jake a referral, you know, and I can't wait to refer him because he's a good guy and we've built a friendship. Yeah. So it's just that whole thing about, you know, got to be in front of people. So anyway, I kind of went off there. I hope that was okay.
Yeah, go off as much as you want. So what we were talking about, I have pulled up on the screen. If you guys are listening, obviously, if you're listening and not watching on YouTube, it's just a simple chart. We have the median price, average price, price per square foot, number of sales, month supply, days on market, median DOM, bank owned sales, short sales, and then October 2023 and then October 24 percent change. It's a simple chart. And I think you gave Excel videos on how to do this. If you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It probably takes 10 minutes or less, depending on how your MLS is set up.
And once you have that template, you're good to, you can generate this very quickly, right?
Yeah. Don't reinvent the wheel. Just, you have that in one Excel spreadsheet, put in the data, it does the math for you. And then
you've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
You know, take a screenshot and then, you know, share it on your socials, you know?
Exactly. And a lot of a lot of MLS boards now are giving stats like this and images for you that they want the realtors to use to market to the sellers. But appraisers can use them as well for different markets. If you aren't, you know, this inclined to do this, I'll check with your MLS. They have a lot of resources where you can just copy and paste some of the resources and repost it for your content too. But this is excellent detail that you give with all these stats. You're talking about relationships. So were you on a podcast before? You were talking about developing relationships, and that was one of your goals this year or last year. Was that you?
I don't know. My goal is always relationship, though. My goal this year, my word for the year, I should say, I'm like acting like, wait, what are you talking about? My word for the year is relationship. And something that I've addressed in my personal life, I've found myself like, I've been too busy and I haven't spent a lot of time in a relationship. And so what I've been doing all year long, I've been inviting people over, sort of a blanket invite, which sounds totally scary, but on my socials and saying, hey, does anyone want to come over and play pool? And it's been awesome. I've really developed some friendships, some people that I'm hanging out with regularly. And so, and I don't view that as like this sort of thing for, you know, I'm trying to get business. I just don't operate that way. But that's exactly the way I approach my business also, where I'm constantly just being personable, wanting to connect with people, wanting to share life. Or like a realtor invited my wife and I to a Halloween party, and yeah, we went to her house and it was really fun. Or, you know, I'm constantly hanging out. Like, we're doing a Friendsgiving next weekend, and probably at least half of the people or more work in real estate. And I sure hope no one comes over and they want to talk about the market the whole time. Like, I'm not busting out a PowerPoint, but like, these are people that where we've developed something where I go, yeah, these are friends. And I don't know, it's just been really rich. I've loved it. But I think, like, in terms of business, one of the best things I did ever was join the local association of realtors. And I think that was about 15 years ago now. And I joined a committee. And the beauty of joining a committee is that it forces you to have to go to a couple meetings a month, because if you don't go, they'll kick you off. And so, but sure. It's like, at the time, that was the Young Professionals Council. And I've, you know, now probably aged out of the Young Professionals Council. But I developed some, you know, some really strong relationships and friendships with people. You know, these are people who refer business to me and I refer business to them. You know, but it's also like I start to, you know, get to know people. Then they say, hey, we need an appraiser to come to our office, or we want to hear about FHA property standards, or how do you challenge a low appraisal, or how do you pull comps, yeah, or like all this stuff. Like 15 years ago, I didn't start out with any content, but now I have these classes that I teach just because I've developed stuff through the years. But it's sort of that basic right. stuff about, hey man, I'll show up to an office and talk for a minute or answer questions. And, you know, those are really, really cool opportunities, I think. And I know that it can be transformative for someone's career when they start to get in front of people, much better than waiting for the phone to ring, I think.
Yeah. So you're talking about the relationships. I would say
for sure.
When you're inviting people over for pool, even though they're your friends, business develops naturally. Like different ideas out of that conversation. Oh yeah, you don't know who your friends know, even though that's not the goal. The goal is to actually have a good time. This, it happens naturally, but you're not going to get there unless you put yourself out there and, you know, go to some events, you know, talk to friends. Like it, you're not going to get there if you're sitting alone at your home every night watching TV or something. So even though that's not a goal when you initially do that, that's what your life and your business are mixed together. They're not, you, there's no such thing as work-life balance. It's just, it's all combined into one. So when you're doing those things, that's helping your business, even though you're having a good time. And that's great. And you're talking about customer service. That's super important at all times with everybody, and having a good attitude and being personable to people. That goes a long way to being referred to in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. People want to work with cool people. I mean, it, that's a really simple way to look at it, but that's exactly what I want in my life. And I think that we don't have to overthink business when we're kind to people, when we're thoughtful, like when we're personable. That's what it's all about. And so like you mentioned, like mingling the personal and business life. And I think that that shows up on a platform like Facebook. And I have a Facebook business page where I post, every day basically, but I have my personal profile, and I think that's more powerful because what I'm doing is that I'm inviting people into my life. And I would say if you're an appraiser and you don't have, you don't have Facebook, then, you know, maybe get it if you want, but like start friending people who work in real estate because they need to have a large network in order to be successful. And so when you become a part of their network, that might help give you business eventually, but you know, you can kind of see what they're doing, and it's not weird to ask someone to be friends on Facebook, right?
No.
But there's, it's also like that thing where, you know, we just kind of want to be probably not those people who are ranting about politics all day.
It
just gets exhausting. I'm so tired of it.
So I will say that. Yeah. If you're friends with realtors and people who refer you business attorneys online, let's keep the political talk and the religious talk. Let's not talk about that on your personal page. Save that for another forum. Just, I don't want to isolate half my business partners by saying the wrong thing. So I always stay away from that as well.
Yeah, no, for sure. And if I could say this sounds like it's going to be really political, but it's not. I think both sides right now, they look at each other and they fundamentally look at the other side and go, I can't believe you voted for that person. You're a psycho, right? Yeah. And it's like there's no room for nuance or no room for recognizing that, like, hey, you know, there's some really decent people on both sides. Now, there's extremes, and those are people where I'd go, okay, you guys got issues. But I think sometimes what happens on social media is we're speaking to extremes instead of building bridges, and it's just really dangerous for forming a business. You know, there's people who I think are just totally obsessed with politics, and for me, that's a real turnoff. Like, I don't mind dialogue, but man, if the person's just day after day ranting, I see appraisers do this online and on Facebook.
I see
agents do it, and then appraisers get super toxic sometimes in the forums, and I'm like, man, that's not the way where we're going to win business in the real world. And so that's why you don't see me ranting. Not that there aren't things to complain about, but just when we embrace this incessant complaining, this culture, this negative vibe, especially on Twitter, oh my gosh, it's hard. You know, everyone feels like crap at the end of the day. When we ingest too much of that.
No kidding. I want to go back to you joining your local association of realtors. Is that the only networking you do? Is that your networking? Is that association, or do you do anything in addition to that?
So, throughout my career, I've been to a lot of different meetings, and I've learned the ones that I like to be at and the ones that I don't. I don't do, the business networking, LTIP, or meetings like that. It's not me. And anytime I'm invited, I just politely decline and say, hey, no, sorry, good luck. Find a different appraiser to be the appraiser in the group. But basically now, I go to events once in a while with the association, but I'm in kind of a different position where I'm being invited to speak multiple times each month. I try to speak somewhere once a week if I can. And honestly, that's kind of my networking. So it's a weird thing where it's like I'm getting invited to talk for an hour about the market or 3 hours or whatever I'm doing. And it's also counting as networking because I'm getting in front of people. I'm providing something of value. But when I first started, yeah, it was all about the Sacramento Association of Realtors. I'd go to 2 meetings per month, the main meeting that everyone goes to, and then the Young Professionals Council, and then whatever event we do for, you know, the Young Professionals Council that month. So it was 3 meetings for me. But then it was slowly going like, hey, I would get invited to do a presentation at a Keller Williams, and boom, I do that. Hey, that went well. I have this same presentation I can give somewhere else then. And, you know, and so I think for me, it just snowballed, but now it's just, there's not really like, I don't like networking events. I don't go to the stuff. I don't do the crab feeds, like right or wrong. Like that's, it's not me. I don't sponsor events. I don't go to the golf events, but some of the other people, they eat that up. That is their bread and butter. It's just not me.
Yeah. No. So I've been, if there was a networking event that's in my town or whatever, I would have a hard time going if I didn't know anybody. I wouldn't like that, but I've been a member of BNI, Business Networking International, for 10 years. But those people are like my family now. I know they're like good friends and I know them and I'm comfortable with that. But when I first went there, totally awkward and totally not my vibe at all. And it was really a struggle to get in there, but that was what I chose to do is to get into non-lender stuff was that was the avenue I chose. I didn't choose to be a part of the association, the MLS, or the realtor board. That was what I picked. But my advice to the appraisers would be you need to pick something. Pick something and just pick something, whatever works for you, and you know, develop that and put all your effort into that.
Yeah. No, I love that because that's exactly like I've been to those meetings and I just can't do it. But for you, that's great, you know, and it just shows that we're all different and we all have different, I think, gifts and abilities and desires. And I think the big thing is just be yourself but have a plan. Like you said, you got to pick something. And if and for anyone who doesn't have any work right now, I'd be like, great. Which meetings can you attend? You can absolutely attend one or two meetings a week if you don't have anything coming in. Start to be consistent with those. Yeah. And start to get to know people and, you know, ask them questions and try to get, you know, friend them online and start to, you know, be that person who is known in the marketplace among, you know, this group of people. And so, but yeah, there's got to be some sort of plan. If we don't have a plan, then I really challenge, you know, or ask the question whether we're serious about doing business. And, you know, there's so much private work out there. And I think one of the things that I would recommend for any appraisers is it like change your view about the real estate community. If you have a negative vibe, it doesn't mean that we like how, you know, all real estate agents or loan officers are going to act. I certainly don't. But I'm very positive about building relationship with people. And these are the people who are referring me business and I'm going to be good to them. I'm going to encourage them and I'm going to speak well of them, you know, publicly and privately. And I'm going to avoid the people who I really don't want to do business with for lots of different reasons. And so I just say that I think there's a mindset shift with the way that we view real estate people. The bulk of my referrals for private work, estate appraisals, divorce appraisals, it often comes through real estate agents even today. There's a lot of attorneys I work with. For me, I didn't start attending attorney meetings. That's a brilliant way to go, but that's just not the way that I went. A lot of it came through getting to know real estate agents and then being a funnel to private work. And so in my mind, they're the gatekeepers to private work. And so if you don't have any work and you're looking for someone or looking for private work, I would just ask, who are the gatekeepers? Whose doors do you need to start knocking on? Which meetings do you need to start attending where these people are? You know, and start putting yourself out there. It's so scary, but it's so rewarding when it happens. So
yes, exactly.
Yeah, appraisers are worth knowing. Appraisers know a lot of stuff, and I would love to see more appraisers out there who are publicly, out there where, people can really look and go, gosh, yeah, I really like, appraisers, or this person has really changed my mind about who I thought appraisers were. And so that's really awesome stuff when we hear those types of things.
Yeah, I think a lot of agents don't realize, appraisers absolutely need to treat an agent like they're a business source, like a referral source. They need to treat agents like that and, don't put them down and all that. But appraisers and their marketing need to educate.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Their agents too, like, what a resource I can be to you. Like, even pricing stuff for you, I can take that pressure off of you. Or you and the seller disagree, I'm your resource. Instead of not taking that listing, recommend an appraisal and they'll figure it out. You're more apt to get that listing now. It's once you tell the agents in your market how good of a resource you can be to them, your cost doesn't even matter. Them spending $400 or $500 or the seller spending that doesn't matter. It makes their life so much easier.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I find that if your fees are a little higher, but people know you, that's the best type of referral, and then they'll pay. And so if they say, okay, well, your fee's a little bit higher, but this person referred me. And so that's cool too. I definitely like that aspect.
Yeah. Regarding those fees, when you get a referral from somebody, the fee is not even a question. You just name your fee. It's not a negotiation. And they're like, yeah, yep, I'll do it, because they don't want to look on Google. They don't want to, cold call and try and, figure it out that way. So that's the best part about a referral is it's your fee, your fee's your fee, and they really don't negotiate with you within reason, obviously.
For sure. Of course. And sometimes if someone's, I don't know, if there's no work, then it's sort of someone negotiates and it's like, yeah, hey, I'll negotiate down, but when you're busy, then I don't know. I mean, it's not even an argument, though, I find in most cases, but sometimes from the get-go, I can sort of feel like, okay, this person's going to be a problem, or, they're just arguing so much about a fee. I'm like, hey, here's my buddy, call my friend, or, all right, just encourage them, shop around, call three other appraisers. If you don't like this, that's fine. I just need to get off the phone because this isn't going to lead anywhere.
Yeah, those calls from Google, I'll be like, if you're calling around, I'm not the cheapest. I'm telling you right now. So if you're going by price, hire somebody else. They need the business and you can go ahead with them. Totally cool with that. Totally fine with that. They can have the business. That's how I approach it when they try and like ask for like $150 off or something. Because there's appraisers in my market who are like $300, $400, whereas opposed to I'm like 100 or 200 more than that. And there's enough business where they can be busy and I can be busy with the higher priced work.
Yeah. And, and that's the cool part. There's no set fee, and hey, whatever the business is worth, like, to the consumer, here's my fee, here's what I'll do it for, and they can accept it or not. And, and I like hearing that, there's no standard commission, there's no standard fee. You always want to be careful about that. So,
so you're speaking, you said you try and do once a week. And you're getting paid now for these the speaking assignments or these speaking gigs?
I do charge for those. And I started actually. What happened was during COVID, things shut down. Like, I've had a blog for I think 15 years or maybe 16 coming up. I think it's going to be 16 this year. Yeah, And I've been speaking in offices for a long time. I did it for a long time for free. Okay. But COVID happened and I would have like a Zoom meeting with an office almost every day. And I got so burned out. I actually got sick, long story, like that took a few months off of work. But then after that, I was like, you know what? I'm worth being hired. I can't put together a presentation that takes me so many hours and not be compensated. And so, you know, and it hasn't really made much of a difference because I think what I'm providing is something valuable. And if someone wants to, you know, bring in a special speaker, then, you know, I'd love to do it. And, you know, once in a while, it feels a little weird when I, you know, quote a fee or say, hey, I do charge for this, but I don't know. I find the vast bulk of the time, like, people are cool with it and they're used to, you know, paying for quality and, you know, they want something special that would help their agents. And man, I'm there for that. No matter what the market's doing, I'm bringing encouragement, I'm bringing hope, and I'm bringing market stats. It's just this awesome combination in my mind.
I agree. Like, you could do both ways. You can do it for free and try and get business from the agents. The paid is even better because the agents, that broker is going to be like forcing the agents to be there. I paid for Ryan to come here and give a talk. You're going to be in that office and you're going to hear him talk. So that's more of an incentive for the agents to be there when the broker is telling them this cost me money. And so I like that approach too. They're more an engaged audience because the broker's like, if it's an agent's office like that. So that's
for sure. But I'll say this is that I'm still willing to do like I speak at the MLS meetings. I'm doing one next week. It's called the Downtown Regional Meeting for the Sacramento Association of Realtors. And I'm not charging for that. But my thing is, I always say, hey, look, I charge for presentations. I'll show up and without any preparation. And so I just, you know, and I don't mind. Like, I love the idea of showing up and just being like, okay, we're going to talk shop for 30 minutes and there's no slides. I can't hide behind a PowerPoint, nothing like that. So that's always fun for me. But like, I do that, you know, I try to do every MLS meeting in the region if I can once a year. And so there's places where like, I really want to give and I really want to be there. And I think part of it just helps me be like, look, I don't have to be be paid for everything. Like, I'm not like,
right.
You know, that's not how I'm looking at it, but it has been nice to develop something where like last year I spoke like, I don't know, I think 44 times or something. And so it starts to add up and where I'm like, okay, I'm starting to feel more of, getting money for something like that. And noting that like, hey, market stats and perspective, I think there's income potential there for sharing perspective and promoting objectivity and neutrality, like all the stuff that's important to us as appraisers. That's what has helped me be an analyst in you know, why people are reaching out. But it's that training as an appraiser to be objective. Absolutely. Cause it's not worth it. You know, if we're getting, you know, doom and, you know, bias, rosy colored lenses, like that's not helpful for anyone.
No. So back to the blog, when you initially started, what was your target was agents or what did you think would happen when you started the blog?
I didn't really know. This was 2009, but it was the time around HVCC when that came out. And I was just like, I need to try to get in front of people who earn clients that I would like to have instead of being the slave to the AMC. And so the goal was to connect with people. I think at first I was writing every day, and that's insane. Don't do that. It's hard enough to get people to open one email a week. Okay, folks.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And so at first, yeah, the target was absolutely the real estate community at large. And, I love to be a resource to, everyone, you know, agents, local homeowners, anyone who's interested in real estate, loan officers, other appraisers. I'm grateful when they read my stuff, always grateful to collab, you know, to know others. And nothing's changed through the years. It's just sort of that general, here's my target audience. But what I found though, too, is that people start to subscribe from around the country. And so, you know, I'm writing about Sacramento, like someone knows that when they, you know, subscribe. And so but I think that there's value there when you go, okay, what's this guy saying about the market? And maybe I can find language in my place. And so that's why I love following certain people online, because I go, maybe I'm going to learn something or pick up some lingo or think about, here's how I need to view things in my area. And so I'd say that, yeah, the target's Sacramento, hands down, but I'm also trying to talk generally enough sometimes, or to throw in some other stuff that, you know, might speak to other places. Now, if I was starting all over and I wasn't like all about, you know, market analysis and, you know, stats, I just pick a question a week to, you know, to talk about, you know, something related to appraisals. And, you know, someone's going to Google that and just be like, who's going to Google this? Who's, you know, how can this help someone? And I think about all the complaints or issues that people have with appraisers, like, how can we begin to chip away at that to help people understand, you know? And that's what I would focus on rather than market stats. It's just, hey, if someone's going to go to Google and type in a question, like, that's exactly the type of stuff I want to be talking about.
Yeah. And that is very important, because that blog on your website, when somebody's Googling whatever Sacramento appraiser or whatever they want to Google, I bet you're organically number one with every single blog post you have. I bet you pop up right there just organically from all the content you have.
Yeah, maybe so. Google's such a tough nut to crack. But I mean, here's my thing is that I'm hyper focused on building relationships with people. And I think I view my online stuff as secondary. I know that sounds kind of weird to say, but like, I don't want my leads to come from Google, from strangers. I want my leads to come from people I know in a network that I've built, because these are people who can refer me constantly. We can do life together. I feel like that's a more powerful combination. Now, some appraisers find success through going straight to Google. I'm going to pay for ads. I'm going to do my own SEO and they're going to get fancy. That's awesome. Like, do whatever works. But that's sort of, I obviously I'm trying to get my content found online. I'm religious about putting out stuff on my socials, but I found that it's not enough to have even a blog. It's just, okay, I've got this blog, but then I need to share it in different places. And so, you know, not that everyone needs to join all the social networks, but it's like, there's just value in at least being going like, I got to go where the people are. And I have to make time for that in my business. That can't be an afterthought or when things aren't busy to be like, okay, well, I guess I better, you know, tweet something. I got to be out there constantly. And so that's why I am, you know, whether that's good or bad.
So like this last blog you wrote about the election and housing market, how long does that usually take you to do?
Okay, so this blog was intense. It took probably 3 hours to write. And some of it was like really like research. Like there's some really cool insight in there, I think, you know, into the local market. And just the graphs and all that stuff, like it took a while. And for me, I know what it takes to write. Writing, especially like a short post, like that's not me. Don't do the long stuff like I'm at. But like
your blogs are very long.
I know. But I try to do is write in blocks and to just sell the concept of like skim quickly or digest slowly. But it's honestly a critique. Like I need to like shorten this stuff up. But what I'm doing is I'm writing in chunks. It's very digestible. And if someone just scrolls down there, like, I'm not interested in that, oh, okay, great. And so it's kind of become somewhat of a newsletter blast where it's just, there's all these sections, but you know, but yeah, if someone was starting out, I'd be like, don't do that. It's too long. And, but I don't know, for me, it's working right now. Maybe I need to change it, but I don't know. I just have too much to say.
Yeah, whatever's working for you. So
heck yeah. Heck yeah.
Do you repurpose all this for LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter? What you repurposed it all from your 3 hours, all that content goes out that week on those platforms?
Oh yeah, yeah. And not only did I build a background of knowledge that I'm gonna carry into this whole entire next year of presentations, I have these awesome visuals. it's going to work for my presentations. But now I have stuff, like I made a quick video for my Instagram today. I made a reel with some of my content today. And all week long, I'm going to be hitting different aspects of this post. And so it's like I want the post to work for me and to try to share it online. One of the hard things about, I think, online right now is that the algorithm is really clamping down. If you share a link, whether it's on Twitter, even LinkedIn, I'm noticing right now, Facebook business pages, it is hard to get people to click on something and view your website because, everyone wants you to sort of pay to play. And so if you give them advertising dollars, then they'll show the link. It just seems really shady. But like, I'm going to share my stuff. I can just share a graph. If they visit my blog or not, that's up to them. But like, I don't want to sort of, be a whore for, pimp out my blog. And like, you got to like, it's all about getting clicks. Like, no, it's not. It's all about like, I want to share some information that I think is useful. And it's not always going to be attached.
Get everything you need to bring home the holidays on Black Friday at Menards. Doors open 6 a.m. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blast tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Doors open 6 a.m. on Black Friday. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
You just a link, and so that's never, I mean, of course I want people to visit, but that's never the primary goal. The primary goal is connection. And then maybe if they like what I'm saying, they're going to subscribe. So
yeah, they're only going to visit if there's a need, like I guess if there's an urgent need to order an appraisal or something like that, that would be for them to visit the website, and read the entire, They need a purpose to go to your website. And it's, I understand what you're saying about the blog. And if they make it there, great. But they're going to search you. Like, they'll search you if they actually need that service, So I wouldn't worry about putting the link in there. They're going to find you. There's so much. You're out there.
For sure. And it's just all about, like, I want to build a network. And the way that I view my blog is that once a week, I'm trying to feed my network with something that's hopefully worth reading. And so that's what it's all about. I'm trying to nurture the relationships to say, hey, here are some questions that are coming up about the election. And like, how do we want to think about this? Here's what the stats say. I think that's really, really powerful. And the truth is, some content's going to work, some's not, some won't. And the cooler I think it is, the worse it probably does. So
something that I've figured out is, you post something that doesn't work out or whatever, it's forgotten the next day. It's replaced by the next post. So it doesn't matter if you screw something up. It's just keep putting content out there because it's going to be replaced and it's going to be forgotten if you screw something up, like an ad, or you screw up some wording or spell something wrong. I'd get so irritated with emails when I would see the email I got and like, oh my God, I sent out that email to 100 attorneys and it had something spelled, it had matrimonial spelled wrong or something like that.
Oh, shoot.
So, but then another email came out after that and it's like, oh, it was no big deal.
It is what it is. Yeah. We just want to get on base and then you'll score runs eventually, not try to hit a grand slam every time you go up. It's just, we're going to strike out more often if we're swinging too hard, probably. So, yeah.
All right. So next, I want to talk about comments on your blog, but first I wanted to plug the sponsor, which is for the podcast. So today's episode is brought to you by the Appraisal Referral Network. It's a community built by appraisers for appraisers. If you're looking to grow your non-lender business, connect with peers, get referrals, and expand your opportunities, you can find out more and join over 700 appraisers, your colleagues at referappraisals.com. So you get awesome. A lot of comments on your blogs, which is really good. I like that. And what's even more impressive, you respond to all the comments.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's what it's all about. And I mean, I don't get too many. Sometimes a topic will be hot and people will, comment, but when you look at social media and posts, like barely anyone comments. I read news articles all the time. I don't ever comment on them. And so I just say, yeah, don't expect comments, but yeah, if they happen, like, great. And And so, yeah, I respond to everything. Absolutely. And most of the time people are really cool. Once in a while, there's something a little nutty, but I mean, it's really, really rare, but I love the social media comments, you know, and it's all about like, if I don't have time to respond, I probably shouldn't even post because I'm not blasting people. I'm sharing information and then trying to interact around it. That's what it's all about. That's where trust is born. Relationships are born. And you know, so that's why I do it.
That's good. And I noticed like to get the comments, you have to pose a question. I see you do that a lot. Like how's your market doing? Or what do you think about that? You have to post something like that to get engagement, which I see you do a lot, which is good.
For sure. Yeah. We got to ask questions and, you know, be available and, you know, hopefully conversation will happen. So, absolutely.
When, would you say the majority of the people who find you, is it from your blog or is it from what do you keep track of that, where people find you, whether it's from your blog or from somebody you met at a speaking gig or something? Do you track that?
I don't track it. I mean, it comes from all over. Sometimes it's, you know, people read my blog or I know them on Twitter, you know, and once in a while, I mean, kind of all the social networks, I've probably got business out of everything. But I mean, I don't want to sound like a one trick pony, but I think a lot of it is just, hey, I know real estate agents and I'm an appraiser that they like and trust and they're going to refer me then. And so I'm really grateful for that. But yeah, sometimes it's strangers. But yeah, it's all sorts of stuff. Like I just did one, a PMI removal, and you know, that came because it was a realtor referral, or, you know, probably I think about everything on my desk right now. This divorce appraisal I just finished, a realtor referred him, you know, to me. And it just sort of snowballs. And so, I probably should keep track of where they come. I do actually in a spreadsheet when I keep track of fees and, you know, address, neighborhood, like it helps me search like, you know, for, you know, what level of business am I doing in certain places? And was it categorized as divorce or estate or a partition or, you know, whatever it is, like it helps me kind of track like percentages of, you know, the chunks of business. And also there's a category for who referred me. And so I do track that somewhat, but not necessarily like online or at an event or something. I'm not that organized. I wish I was. I'm really not.
I'm super anal about that. I changed it about a year or two ago in my QuickBooks from, I used to categorize it like 1004, GPAR or 1073, whatever the job type was, that's my category. I've since changed it to divorce, listing, estate, probate, consult. So now when I pull something up, I pull up like a graph report, it'll pull up, oh, wow, Dan has done 40% divorce work this year in my QuickBooks, which has helped me a lot to see like, oh my God, most of my work is divorce. Only 15% is from agents. You know, I may want to put more resources into finding more attorneys because, you know, that's where I'm headed, or I can cite that source really easily. But I'm really anal about tracking stuff. So.
Yeah, no, that's smart too. And you know, and there might be different things that are relevant in different markets. Like if we really started to see prices decline, we would see more tax appeals. Not a relevant thing right now, you know, but that's, or bankruptcies or, you know, sort of the bad stuff, so to speak. And so,
right.
I like that. I should probably look at my, you know, the stats are right there. I could go to Excel right now and, you know, see what percentages there are, but yeah, that's good.
So the, how do you know your blog is effective? I was trying to get at, how do you know your blog's effective? It's like somebody's writing a blog. What should their goal be? How do they know it's working almost? Gotta be a struggle for new people figuring that
out. Yeah. I think it's tough when you start something and you have to ask yourself, I mean, what criteria would I use to know if it's successful? And some of that might be clicks, you know, okay, that was my mom, that was my wife. And, you know, and so, but like that third click, who is that third click? And so I think part of it is like we have metrics. You could see how many people are opening your emails, but honestly, that's probably a really quick way to get discouraged by focusing too much on stats and all that. Like, I try not to focus on that too much myself, but I think that if you're doing something and you start to get invited places or people start to post it or you write something and then someone's like, I've got to share this with my clients. Like today I had a realtor who said, I shared your post about elections on LinkedIn and, you know, with, you know, her base, whatever that meant. Right. Yeah. And so like for me, I know, okay, that was effective. Or yeah. If people respond, they're in my inbox or in the comments, that's how I know, like, okay, this is resonating. Or if I get some emails back, if I'm only getting unsubscribe, I'm like, well, that one sucks, you know?
Yeah, that didn't work that week.
Yeah, or I get someone that I'm like, you know what? That was a really good post. And if you're not going to want to read some of the best stuff I'm putting out, we're probably just not meant to connect. Like, that's fine. There's probably someone else out there. And so that's kind of the way I view it also. And people unsubscribe every week and they subscribe every week. Like, it's just this, you know, this happens. Like, you will not keep everyone. That's for sure.
Exactly.
But I think that, like, I would use the basic metric of, like, if you share it online and it gets shared a few times, like, man, that's really gold. And
I don't know. That's a good metric, a share. I'd be happy if somebody shared that blog post. Like seeing that even on LinkedIn, somebody sharing something. Oh, cool. They found value in it. That was a success today. So yeah, aim small, I guess.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Of all the posts you did, does one come to mind that was like, oh, this is the best post I've ever done. It resonated the most with my readers and it was the most popular. I had 10,000 clicks that day or something like that. Was there one that stuck out that was like that?
I don't know. I think ones that I've written about, like, what is a bedroom or do you need a closet for a bedroom? Those are really big. I don't know, because once in a while, like, a post will get shared by some, you know, big economist in his newsletter, then I'm like, wait, how come this post got so much traffic? And then, you know, it was from some rando, but like, I don't know. It's cool to get a lot of traffic, but that doesn't necessarily mean much. It's kind of cool for, I think, maybe social clout, expertise, you know, recognition, but I don't know, some random dude on the East Coast shares it. Like, it's not like people are going to subscribe, you know, very much. So right. I'm not concerned with going viral, or getting a lot of clicks on something. I want, obviously, the bare minimum. I want to get on base every week. It's just not, I really don't obsess over clicks. I'd actually have to look and see what, the biggest stuff is. Probably like a migration post from California. Those are big, but just like stuff on choosing comps sometimes. How do you choose comps when there are none, you know, seemingly? Yeah. Like that kind of stuff resonates, I think, with a lot of people who are struggling right now in the marketplace, going like, hey, what do I do? If we're missing 35% of the normal volume today, you know what that means? 35% fewer comps. And so how do we deal with this? Can we look to other neighborhoods, or, you know, can we look at older sales? And so I think that appraisers have a lot to offer when it comes to stuff like that. And so I find that the bulk of content, like, that the real estate community wants is, you know, what's the market doing and how do I do my job better? How do I do value? And I think if content sort of scratches that itch, I think that's where it's a win and people go, okay, I like what that person's saying because it's helpful stuff. It's not hire me, I'll be your appraiser for life. Like, no one wants that. I don't want to subscribe to anyone who's just selling themselves. I want to know what they know. And I think that's valuable stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Right. We're almost going an hour. So I think we're about to wrap it up. I was going to do some bonus content with you, but I think you shared an awful lot for people to, for appraisers to get out there and do their own blog and some action steps for them if they don't have one right now. Hopefully they at least have a website, but put a blog on your website as well. But any last thoughts you want to share with appraisers, and then I'll just close it out.
I did talk a lot. So sorry if you're probably sick of me by now, that's okay. But I would just say, go for it. That, you know, as you think about 2025 ahead, like really make some goals and go like, who do you need to get in front of? Who are the gatekeepers? How can you attract, you know, private work? There's a lot of different ways to do it. Be yourself. It's just the basic stuff, but it's really developing a plan and then committing to it. Okay. Who cares what anyone else does? But I want you, if you're frustrated and you feel like I don't have enough, you know, work on my plate right now, like I want you to be that person who's not online complaining. I want you to go out there and be that person who's doing. And, you know, I really have a lot of respect for colleagues, you know, but one thing that you don't see me doing, I'm not like stuck on the forums. I'm like out there with people, and that's where I want you to be also.
So appraisers, that's your action step this week. I'm not going to say anything. Ryan just told you exactly what to do. So appraisers, go out there and do it. And we'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks for tuning in, appraisers.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for joining us on the Brews and Appraisal Views podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode and found some value in it, which you can apply to your appraisal business. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe and leave a review. It really helps us reach more appraisers like you. For more tips and to connect with other appraisers, visit referappraisals.com. Until next time, keep brewing up success in your business, and I'll catch you on the next episode.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.